So it is August 2nd, 2022. This is our Sales a Story Part 3, Key Tips on Sales. Super excited to dive in. We're doing some deep dive work on stage 2 in the last little while, and we're going to start just with a brief meditation. So often we start with Shavasana, but I just want to take just a couple minutes. Again, so much I want to share with you today. So here you can, you don't need to go camera off. You can just take a moment seated where you are. Have your feet on the floor. Mine weren't. So feet on the floor so that you're grounded, and sit in a place where the heart center is open. And it's a good idea, yes, if you wear glasses, to take them off. It helps that inward journey. And then just close your eyes. Feel the breath. Have you stopped to notice your breath at all yet today? I did, but it was already hours ago. So be here. Be present. Feel grounded through the touch of the feet on the floor, through the sit bones on the chair, through the arms resting on the thighs or on supports beside you, armchair, grounded. And from that grounding, lift to the sky. Let the spine be erect, not leaning forward or back, but right center here now, in this moment. Feel the spaciousness of the breath. Feel ease in this moment. Quietness in your heart center. And as you gently watch the breath, the inhalation, the exhalation, just let go of whatever came before. It's past now, let it go. Let go of expectations of what's to come, even with the next breath or the rest of your day or week. Let it go. It's not here yet. Be present. Let there be just the hint of a smile just at the outer corners of the mouth, and just see what that changes. Does that change how you're being in this moment? Just the faintest hint of a smile. Relax the tongue, relax the cheeks and jaw. Let the forehead be smooth, smooth like butter. Take this time for yourself. And knowing that any whatever quietness you felt in this moment, in these moments together, know that it's accessible to you always. It's here with each breath you take, each breath you receive. It's here. Quiet, ease, groundedness, connectedness. Open heart, ease. And then slowly, slowly opening your eyes. Welcome. So fun. I closed my eyes, opened my eyes. More of you are here. So cool. So I'd love to jump right in today with wins. What's opening for you now? What do you want to share? What do you want to celebrate? It's really good to have a habit of sharing wins and celebration and knowing no matter what is happening, there are always wins, big ones, small ones, momentary ones. What's happened to this week? What's happened in the last year that you're still celebrating? Who would like to share first? Yeah, Jonathan, thank you.
So last Friday was my last day, as you know. Yay, it was fantastic. So I was lucky enough to be able to walk out of there, you know, with a project already kind of in hand. So I've got, I've got a project that's partially sort of taking some fee away from my old company. They were comfortable with it. They wanted to make it happy. I wanted to make it happy. Clients happy. So I've got that underway, and I made an announcement on LinkedIn, and I've had hundreds of people emailing me saying this is so cool. So it's been great. It's really fantastic. So last 2 days, I've honestly been spending most of my time replying back on LinkedIn saying thank you so much for your support, I really appreciate it, stuff like that. So it's been really really great. It's been really validating for me, and still scary but still good, you know, talking with insurers, getting liability insurance, this, that, and the other. So I'm still getting it all done. It's all big, kind of scary stuff for me, but it's happening. So it's great.
Jonathan, that's so, so great. I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. And look how the universe is like wanting to give you things. It's just us. It's just us. We just have to catch up, right? And again, I forget the numbers. Was it 9 years and then 19 years? I've got it close, right?
A total of 19 years, I think.
19, yeah, because there was another decision point too, 11 years later, I think it was. Or something.
Exactly.
I know it was 19 years, right?
Yeah.
After 19 years. And then what did you actually say, hundreds of messages?
Oh yeah, hundreds, literally hundreds of messages that I've been getting from people that I've met in the industry, as well as people that I've known, socially, that are, just friends, who, and some of them are friends are asking, hey, what types of projects will you work on? Will you be interested in working on this with me and this, that, and the other? So it's been great, really great.
You know, and there's all kinds of reasons that we have to wait, and I get it, and things happen, and then this, and then life passes by, but I'm like, I'm so happy for you. You did it. You're doing it. You look at the universe just jumping in to support you. It's so, so good. Love it. Thank you for that. Yes, yes, yes. Let's hear one more win. Who has something they'd like to share? Big win, small win, this breath, this month, this week. Mary Kay, thank you. And then Heidi.
My win is I'm riding my young horse, and this has been a project for quite a while, and the way he's responding, it's like validating what I do. I'm glad I waited. Yes.
That's so good. And I can feel it in how you're saying it too, right? It's just in every cell. It's in every cell of you. How beautiful that is. How wonderful that is. How it's, right timing, right alignment, and just the joy at the center of your work too, right? That's so right in the heart of, like, it's deeply connecting with the heart of what you do. Beautiful, beautiful. And so, so happy for you. Yay. Thank you for sharing. Heidi.
My win is that some argument contrast had come up, and I was quite upset and angry. And my win is that I chose not to be a screaming Mimi, and chose to stay calm and consider before I spoke. And figured out at least a next step to resolve something that has to be addressed calmly.
You know, what you're saying here is so huge. And sometimes, you know, it's easy when it's easy, but what do we do when we bump into stuff, right? We bump into stuff, and this is, it sounds like a big bump for you, you know, definitely bumped into stuff. And in actually knowing that at this space, at that time, you have the choice. You get to choose your story. I don't know all the details, but you may have saved yourself 6 months of grief. You may have saved yourself things that you can't ever take back. You may have saved, you know, so much of being on the path, knowing, and also just knowing that not just saving you from that, but knowing who you are and deciding who you are. Well, that's who I am. And that carries into all the rest of your life, your company, everything is so beautiful. Well, that might have been loud. That was right by my mic. I was just opening up some bubbly water. Sorry about that, guys. Heidi, beautiful. Thank you so much. Love, love, love hearing these wins. All right. Anything else bubbling up? So much wanting to be shared before we jump in. Anything else? Good to go for now. Okay. Thank you. So this is our, I'm calling it Sales a Story Part 3. So we did part one and part two. Sales a Story Part 3, key tips on sales. So as you know, sales, it's stepping into your big self, sales and offers. And we could hear it so much with what Jonathan was sharing, right? That is the energy of it. It's like, oh, and sometimes it's the waiting for a minute to, do we make that phone call? Sometimes it's waiting, you know, years in the making, but whatever it is, we can choose now. We can choose now to step in, to step into our big selves, and our big selves, that's knowing that, you know, knowing you have something deep and beautiful to offer, knowing that people out there really are wanting and needing the thing that you do, that only you do, knowing that now is the time to do it. And so this, again, it's Sales a Story Part 3. So it builds on what we've been doing previously, builds on the High Ticket Virtual Retreat as well from last month. So Sales a Story Part 3, key tips on sales. And because it was implementation last week, I feel like I haven't seen you in years, you know? It hasn't been that long, really, objectively, but it feels like it's been years. So I wanted to kind of gather the threads. Go back and listen to Sales a Story Part 1 and Part 2. I can't recreate it in a couple of minutes. We would just have to do the whole thing again, right? We're not going to do that. But I want to remind us where we've been, because it's been a couple of weeks since Sales a Story Part 2. And you may have forgotten some pieces, or depending on the energy that you've come with. And so, Jonathan and Heidi are right beside each other on my screen. And you're, you know, you represent, you know, two places where you could be. Jonathan's like, I'm really excited. I'm scared too, but I'm really excited. And actually Mary Kay too, just, I'm in joy in, you know, this moment of being. And Heidi is like, wow, stuff came up, but I'm getting through it. So wherever you are, let's gather the threads and gather the energy and remind you of some of the places that we've been so that we can jump off from there. Make sense? All right. So just know that wherever you're entering, like I mentioned about Jonathan and Heidi, wherever you're entering into the conversation today, all is well. All is well. And you're going to bump into stuff, right? So just saying. So if you're bumping into stuff, well, par for the course, right? And I think of, again, Jonathan, like, how many things did you bump into before you made this decision and actually did it, right? You know, we bump into stuff en route. And then sometimes then once we're there, like Jonathan's like, wow, you know, it feels so good. It's like, oh, let's just do it. We're here right now. We only have now. Let's just do it. Let's just jump in, right? So about sales. First off, sales is not a dirty word, right? And so we did a lot of making friends with that word. And if you still have trouble with that word, well, you can call it something different if you want, but then it means that you can say, you know, allowing somebody to step in. That's how I think of it. It's like making an offer in the area that I am, whatever you call it. I love making friends though with the word sales, because if you know, then when you bump into some sales training, when somebody is making an offer, somebody else is selling, you'll go, wow, cool, there's stuff to learn here, you know, so that you make friends with that, right? And sometimes when people think about sales, they want techniques and tactics and scripts. You probably have wanted that. I don't know, have I wanted that ever? Probably, I don't remember, but maybe I did at some point, right? You're like, tell me exactly what to say, fill in the blank and so on, right? And I'm not saying that these things can't be useful. And I've got a few, you know, sentences that might help you. I've got some, if you ask me for a script, I'll produce it for you. You'll probably Google it, but it's not how it really happens. In my books, the way I think about sales, that's not what really matters. And what I want to underline from what we did a lot of in Sales a Story Part 2, 2 weeks ago today, is that as heart-centered entrepreneurs, as amazing heart-centered human beings, because you wouldn't be listening to my words if that wasn't you. I know that's everybody here right now. I know that's everybody listening on the recording. I am the gatekeeper of this community. Ivana's function as gatekeeper as well. So is Marie, so is Amy, right? So, you know, just like, if you're here, you have a heart of gold. I know you do. And you've got something profound to give the world. And as a heart-centered entrepreneur, you already know a lot about sales. That's the deepest message that I want to share with you. That's from Sales a Story Part 2. You already know so much about sales. So the analogy that I gave a couple of weeks ago, Sales a Story Part 2, my mom was a nurse. And you know, if she walked up into somebody in the street and they were lying there bleeding, what's she going to do? She's going to help them. It's natural to us as human beings, and it's as human beings, especially for heart-centered, some people might walk on by. It's not, that's not you, right? So you'd want to help. She would help. She was a nurse. And she would know the deep value of her offer. If somebody's there bleeding out, wow, that person's going to die if I don't go help them. There wouldn't be anything in her. I was like, wow, you know, because we think about sales like that often. It's like, should I help? Should I not? Am I being pushy? It's like, no. When we have when we understand what it truly is, then we're doing it because there's a person that needs our help that much. You know, well, you know, but my work, they're not going to literally die. What's going to happen to their life? Do you know the priceless value of your gift? If you don't, sales might be hard. Sales might be tactics. Sales might be, oh my goodness, it's hard to reach out or whatever it is. But when you think of that analogy about my mom and the person bleeding in the street and you as heart-centered entrepreneur, then what if you make a mistake? What if she comes up and says their name? She thinks it's Sally in the street and she accidentally, and it's actually Susie. Is she going to be mortified that she got the wrong name? Is she going to be worried that she made a mistake? Is she going to be worried about, you know, whether she rips their shirt in order to put the tourniquet and maybe she didn't rip it perfectly? Like, she's not going to care. She's just going to freaking do it because that person is hurting and they need help. And as a heart-centered entrepreneur, you are perfectly positioned to do that. And as I say, you need to know the value of your work deeply. There wouldn't be any question. My mom walks up to somebody in the street, they're bleeding. Do you know it that deeply? Do you get up in the morning and go, like, there's people on the planet right here, right now, that if I'm not helping them, their day is going differently. Their month is going differently. Their life is going differently. And when's my time to reach out to them? Now. It should feel like that. It's deeply in service. That's what sales, that's what it means to me. And so what's really important about sales is listening and really trying to help people. So how do we do that? We ask some questions. We find out what's wrong. We see how we can help them. And here I want to switch the analogy. I didn't talk about this last time, but you know, I haven't done CPR in a long, long time, but I certified and recertified and did weekend courses many years ago. So I don't know if you've learned CPR before, but you know, one of the things that you do, and Diane, so you're nodding, you know, right? The very first thing you do is assess. Well, is this person just having a nap? You know, I'm not going to start like thumping on their chest, right? Maybe they're just having a nap. It's one of the things they teach in CPR training, right? hey, are you okay? And I don't remember all that as many years ago now, but you know, talking to them and both their ears, maybe they're deaf in one ear, right? Are you okay? And then we see, are they breathing? Then we see, is their heart beating, right? Before we start thumping on their chest. So sales, it's no different than that. We ask them, but in this case, we ask them questions. Maybe my mom thought somebody's bleeding out, but she actually walked into the set of a Hollywood movie and they got ketchup or whatever they use all over them, right? So we're going to assess. And the way we assess is by listening. We ask some questions. We find out what's going on. We find out what's wrong. And then we see if we can help them. You are so equipped to do this. and what makes a great salesperson. I didn't ask Yvonne if I could use this, and I've been using this analogy for quite a while. So I hope you don't, Yvonne, just for those just seeing me right now, Yvonne just winked and smiled. I take that as a yes, right? So what makes a great salesperson? And my model is like Yvonne and the used car salesperson, right? That's my model. I know not all used car salesperson are bad people or wrong, but I mean our stereotyped version of it. And I actually met one of those once, so, you know, some great used car salesman, but our idea that we have is often comes from that. That's our stereotype version. So, you know, what makes a good salesperson? Well, the used car salesperson is, you know, trying to push something, doesn't care if that, you know, in the stereotypical version, that's what we worry about, that we're going to be that, trying to push something on somebody, trying to get something for nothing or whatever. You can't even do that if you tried. It's not you, so stop worrying about it, right? It's not you. And my model for sales, that's Yvonne. And I remembered watching her years ago, and she did it more than once, but I think of this one iconic moment. And she sat with one of our alumni for hours of her own accord. She was here as a student just to hold space for him, to see what was it that he wanted to do. And she wasn't attached to what decision he made, she was just committed that he would make a decision for himself so his life could move forward. That's what sales is. And then you heard on Sales Story Part 2, thank you for that, Yvonne, it was hilarious. She's kind of like, yeah, even still. And someone's like, I'm not a salesperson. I don't do sales, right? It's one of the reasons I wanted Yvonne on my team. She didn't think of herself first with a salesperson hat. Some people who do are great at sales, right? But with Yvonne, it was just like, I just hold space for people. She can't help herself. And you as a heart-centered person, as a heart-centered human being, that's who you are. You are so equipped for it. But like Yvonne, it's like, no, I'm not a salesperson. It's like, you are completely equipped to do this. And so just some of the mindset shift that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, how to think about sales. Sales to me, it's the greatest service. Often we get this used car salesperson idea. We think we're pushing something on somebody or whatever it is. It's all messed up, right? It's a disservice not to make an offer. When somebody is in your ideal client zone, think about my mom. It's a great analogy, right? Hey, would you like me to stop that bleeding? You know, like, it's gonna be so urgent, she's gonna jump right in. I mean, there's a step when we're an entrepreneur, you know, it's like, would you like to do this together, right? But it's a disservice not to make an offer. If my mom walked on by, man, that's not what a heart-centered person does. It's the greatest service because you're holding space for somebody at their point of decision where they could change their lives. Jonathan, can I share with them something that you sent me probably in Slack? I can't remember, it was a text or something recently about the work that we're doing here. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. So it's a disservice not to make an offer. Jonathan, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. And I can't remember exactly how you put it, but it was something like, it's already been worth the investment multiple times over for having made this one decision, but it's 19 years in the making. It's utterly life-changing. What if I'd met Jonathan and I go like, well, I think maybe we could do some work, maybe we could help, but no, I don't want to impose, no. But you know, it's like, it's a disservice not to. It's a disservice not to. Thank you for that permission, Jonathan, I appreciate it. And it's not some technique or tactic like the way Jonathan and I met. We can a strategy session can come from somewhere. We were chatting over dinner at a yoga retreat, you know? You can meet the people that you're meant to serve all over the place. Don't think that you can't. That wasn't even my intention. I was there resting myself after a lot had happened, but somebody needs help. It's like my mom in the street, we're not gonna not help, right? So it's not some strategy, technique, tactic. It's just real conversations with real people. And it's about listening. Often we go, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I don't know if I've got my offer right. And if you're thinking those things, it means the focus is in, yes, we need something of that, but that's like 0.1% or something, it's a small part. It's maybe a little more than that, but I don't know what percentage is. It's not where I want your attention. It's all about the listening. It's all about the listening. And you know, most of you, probably all of you know, the last chapter of my PhD dissertation was called Listening Differently. I worked on and wanted to understand how we listen, because I think as a culture, we don't listen well. But you being heart-centered, you have that capacity. And then it's a skill that we can also develop, right? But it's really about listening. And so again, these are some places we've been, but you might've forgotten some of this. And I want to pull it together too, because in the pull together form, you'll experience it differently than when we went through it with some other details in Sales and Story Part 1 and 2. So then we have a conversation with somebody. We call it a strategy session. A strategy session is when somebody is entering in, trying to find their best next step with you somewhere in your area. So it's a conversation that has a very specific focus. It's not just going for coffee. I didn't have a strategy session with Jonathan while we're having dinner. I just tried to help. And then it's like, wow, do you want to see if we can strategize together and see if we can figure out what your best next step is with this pain that we see that is in my area, right? And so it's a natural thing. And when we sit down for this strategy session, we're going to say more about that today, how that conversation goes, because sometimes we have a lot of fear about that. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I don't know what I'm supposed to offer. So I'm not ready yet. You're ready. Each one of you listening to my voice, you can go out and make this offer to somebody. You can have this conversation this afternoon, right? With somebody that you already know, most likely. And if not, then it's somebody that knows somebody you know. You don't have to do cold calling, all right? So what's this conversation shaped like? So if we sit down to have the conversation with somebody, that's called a strategy session, or some people call it a discovery call. You can call it whatever you want. Here, I'll use the language strategy session, right? Don't write yourself off if you use different language. Everyone does this because somebody, you know, if we're doing high ticket work, we have a real conversation with a real person. Everyone is doing this, right, in their company. So what is that strategy session shaped like? Without going into a lot of detail here, I just want to underline, and we haven't talked too much about this yet, but it's shaped like a story. Why? Well, because everything in our lives is shaped like a story, really, right? Somebody, a story has a desire, right? Somebody wants something. There's something. Here's how a story goes, essentially. A story is somebody wants something. There's something in the way. It actually gets worse until they come to a crisis or a decision, and they actually move into a new world because of that. You can think of any movie you've seen. You can think of Star Wars. You can think of, I often use Star Wars, Princess Bride. It's like, that's the shape. Luke ends up in a totally different world by the end. He bumps into stuff along the way. He has something he really wants. That's the shape of story. That's the shape of a strategy session as well. When we know that, man, you have the keys to the kingdom. You don't know how much you have the keys to the kingdom yet. Am I telling you this? Right? So there's desire. Again, in the language of story, there's pain and obstacles. There is hope. And then we move into a new world. I think, in fact, some of the Star Wars and some of the movies even named that, you know, it's like story structure, right? So somebody wants something. There's something in the way. The pain actually gets worse. Pain starts to turn to hope, and then they enter into a new world. How this works in a strategy session, somebody's coming to you and they really want something, but there's something that's blocking it. You have a conversation with them to find out what their pain is. You're not making it worse when you talk to them about it. That's a mistake we often make. This is going beyond review. I'm teaching some new stuff here, but I outlined it a little bit last time. I want to teach a little bit more about the structure of strategy sessions, right? You're not making it worse. Sometimes we don't want to ask them questions because we don't want to cause pain. The pain is already in them. This may be their first safe place to actually acknowledge it, actually have a human being who cares actually listen to it and try to figure out what to do. It's such a heart-centered thing to do, right? So they come to you, they want something, there's something in the way. And as you dive deeper into the pain, they start to realize it's more than maybe they were thinking, because maybe they don't want to look at it. Maybe it's really been painful. Maybe it's been many years, right? So you start to open that up. And pain eventually starts to turn to hope. Let's see. Wow. Do I have permission to tell you this story? I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to seek forgiveness afterwards. My daughter is very private, right? But she also trusts me. The trust has been earned over many, many years, right? So yesterday, she had an accident with her computer, and she thought her computer was destroyed. And she had, I saw your eyes, Heidi, right? And she had an assignment, a big assignment that was due right afterwards. She was, you know, so pain. I came and I actually left a meeting to go help her. Because it's like, oh my goodness, can we save her? It's like a multi-$1,000 computer, and the assignment is due, and so on. So she was in immediate pain. The structure of it was like a little mini strategy session, you know? Hey, what's the pain? How can I help? And then it's deeper. It's like, oh no, because she was getting to a place, because we do this, like everything's going to go wrong, and I won't get the assignment in, and my computer's probably destroyed, and then what? Right? And then we find a solution, and it starts to turn to hope. Maybe we can mop up the thing that feels, you know, spilled all over it. Maybe we can, you know, get, and we start brainstorming. And luckily her dad's a computer engineer, right? We bring him over and they took apart the computer, and, you know, so that's, strategy sessions have that same structure. I'm not creating pain when I go say, hey, what's wrong? I'm trying to help with the solution. Hey, I'll mop what spilled all over the floor. I'll help mop up the computer. Let's see if your computer will still run, and so on, right? So, and eventually it'll start to turn to hope. It's like, maybe I can still get the assignment in. Maybe I can use a different computer. Maybe it's actually gonna run. Oh no, it didn't start running. Maybe it's just rebooting, you know? So pain starts to turn to hope. Do you see? It's like natural as a human being that a conversation does that. So story is hardwired into us. And then actually I have it later in my notes, but I'm going to put it right in here. And I talked about this last time, don't pounce. Like imagine if when my daughter's there, a real life situation, right? Yesterday. And I say, great, I can, you know, and she's starting to go, maybe we'll be able to fix it. Maybe just, you know, she's just in that moment. Like maybe it's going to be okay. Maybe it's, and I go, yes, and I'll fix it. I've got my 1-2-3 program. That'll be $67, please, or $600 million, right? Oh, don't pounce. Like that person feels jumped on. It's like, I thought you were trying to help me. You're just jumping on me, even though the conversation they know may lead to an offer, right? Just let them be there in the hope together. Maybe we can fix this. Maybe we can, right? And there wasn't, in that case, it wasn't payment for me, but if there had been, it might have been. You know, yes, of course. And she could have turned to, this didn't happen, but she could turn to hope. Maybe we can mop it up. Maybe it can work. Mom, I know you were supposed to be in a meeting. I'm so sorry. And I could have asked for payment at that place, right? I could have said, listen, I'm happy to have helped you and I can continue helping you, but will you make dinner tonight? You know, I mean, this is normal to us as human beings. I didn't do that, but I could have. And she would have been, of course, are you kidding me? You helped me so much. Yes, thank you. That's the normal structure of a strategy session. If this is making sense, that this is something that is innate in you, that is not foreign, that has a structure of story, that you've done conversations like this before in your everyday world, raise your hand. I'm trying to demystify this. Yeah, lots of hands going up and nods around the room. Okay, good. Yes, thank you. That's 100%. Thank you. All right. So, and then you enter into a new world. She's like, wow, computers can, it's not just that her computer got fixed. It's that I have help. Both my dad and my mom are, it reaffirmed something for her, are here right on hand to help out. I'm loved. I'm cared for. They rushed in when they were supposed to be somewhere else. I must be an important, do you get what happened inside my daughter yesterday? She knows she's loved, but in the moment she knew it even more. And it's like, wow, computers can be taken apart. I'm in computer science right now. I know that it's not, you know, things won't just fall apart. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fixable. These are some of the benefits that happened to her. And the very same as strategy session, it's not just fixed computer. People are gaining so much more than that, no matter what your area is. It's like, well, the computer was broken, now it was fixed. Isn't that what it's about? Not at all. They didn't have lights, now they have lights, right? They needed better energy. I did Reiki, now they're good. You know, it's like so much more is happening, that new world they enter into, and they enter into the new world with their decision to invest, right? It's like, oh, I can do this. And then once they start the work with you in whatever form that is for you, there's a whole other story that begins, right? And there's a whole other, you know, journey and the story, you know, there's pain, there's hope, there's an obstacle, etc. Because that's how we live our lives. All right. Making sense so far? Jot down your biggest aha. And finishing up that last sentence, I know I just gave you a second. I just wanted to give you a second to collect your thoughts, taking that writing to a place where you can, and I think it's a great idea to come back to it later. And let's hear one or two of these ahas. I want to hear what you're hearing so far and just empty out the room a little bit because I want to pour more in, right? So empty out the room a little bit. What did you hear today for you? Because that's the deepest dive that I've given here for you in terms of the structure of the strategy session. It's not rocket science. There's details too. We can learn more and more and more about it. It's like playing the piano. You can play the first day and then there's more, but there's a lot you can run with what I just gave you. Diane, thank you.
I think the biggest thing that struck me was, you know, hold space for them and yet don't pounce on them with your offer.
Right. Thank you for hearing it. It's crucial. It's one of the biggest, both of those are big mistakes that people make. It's like, let me just, you know, this is the used car salesman version. And again, I'm not trying to diss used car salesman. It's just that we have that idea in our heads. Maybe I need another phrase. I know a really great used car salesman. I'm not trying to say, oh, the more I say it, the worse I get. Right. The stereotype that we have about sales that we're imposing or whatever it is, it's because we forget those things. We're holding space for a real human being, not to pounce on them, to actually hold space like a human being. And then it's going to be natural. It's like if this is the hope, but they don't know how to get there, then they need your stuff. If they're the right client, if they're the right potential client. Wow, it could be like that. 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 And imagine it's like the moment before we start, it's like a millisecond when it's a computer that has stuff spilled all over it, right? Gooey, icky stuff, right? But it would be like, hey, we could do this. Well, do you want to do it? Let's go do it, you know, right? With the computer, it's just a millisecond, but, you know, we hold space. It's like, wow, maybe we can sop up this mess. Maybe it's going to be okay. Well, do you have any questions? Yeah, how do we do that, right? It's natural for them to ask when they're the right person, right? And if they don't, and I talked about that a little bit last time, well, then sometimes they're just like, wow, because it's not a computer right in the moment, and they're just, they're blown away by the vision. And any questions? No, thank you. And they would go away. Some people would have gone away at that moment. It's like, well, do you want to see how we might do this? Yes, 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 right? When it's the right person. All right. Let's hear one more aha. Love that, Diane. That was beautiful. Hold space, don't pounce. Yeah, Mary Kay, thank you.
This has been an aha from before, but I heard it differently. So it's a disservice not to make an offer. And I hear it differently too, because I'm giving to my clients a Living Presence workshop on Friday, and it would be a disservice not to give them the exercises and the full part of it.
Thank you. Disservice not to. It's like we're here on the planet to serve and support each other, and that's the fun on the journey, to be together with people who are uplifters on the planet, right? And so disservice not to. It's like, why not help? Why not support? Why not, you know, offer more? And even, you know, we can, Mary Kay, love what you said. And also we can extend that to sometimes when you mention workshop, it's like sometimes you've been to a workshop and then you go, wow, I really like that, but I have no idea how to get more and I want more. But it looks like it ends here. Well, disservice not to. It's not for everybody, but for the right people, they have that opportunity to step forward. So thank you for underlining that in the different contexts that you can use that with too, Mary Kay. Love that. All right. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said? Yeah, Heidi, thank you.
There's a premise with all this, though, that we pay for services that we receive. Mm-hmm. And that's true. That's fair of most things. There are, though, things that the society does not expect payment. And I think I am in a gray area where people assume that support is free. And to stand up and it's not black and white, fix my computer and I pay you, help me understand my horse better and I'll pay you. If it's, I'll support you when you have an autistic kid and there are governmental things that say they do that, to stand there and say, wait, I'm different from that, from your neighbor, your mother-in-law, whatever, and you've heard me express this before, I have an alarm going off in my head of asking for money for that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So thank you for this. I love this question, Heidi. And first off, when we have an alarm going off about asking for money, your editor is in there somewhere. That's the first thing I want to say. That's first and foremost, because it's simply an energetic exchange. That's all it is. It's if things are always only going out and nothing's coming back, we burn out, right? So it's natural and normal that value circulates in our culture, and the way we happen to do that is with money. So first, I want to underline that, but that's natural and normal. It's just like give and take and the circulation of value in our culture. Again, we just happen to use money, right? And then the second thing is, think about it. I bet you could go to a university campus right now, find some free tutoring to help you with your words. I bet you could. If not free, probably next to free. There's a bunch of starving English students who want experience and will put it on their resume. Why didn't y'all do that? You can Google pretty well everything. You can Google, just because we talked about, we're just thinking about you, Jonathan. You can probably Google a lot about lighting. You could go do it yourself. Why not do that? It would be free. Then why are all those people reaching out to Jonathan, right? They are not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. And that, what that has to do with is really knowing the value, the priceless value of what you're doing. When those questions are coming up, where the editor is sitting is not knowing the value of what you do. And on the one hand, Heidi, I know you know it. And on the other hand, you don't know at all. And that's where it is. When you know the priceless value of what you do, it's like my mom walking up to the person in the street. And it doesn't really matter what's happening down the street. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. What you have to offer is priceless, is valuable, is unique. Nobody else is doing that. And if that were not so, Heidi, what's written on the back of your book? Summarize it for us, please. What did you do before you found what you were able to find for you and for Ethan? Say it out loud for us. I know it's hard right now, right? I know there's a lot of emotion here, but will you just tell us that?
You mean what Ethan told me?
When that part, it's like what you, how much you sought to try to help.
Oh, yeah. I spent a fortune.
Oh, how much is a fortune? Can you just give us an estimate? Just roughly, it doesn't have to be exact.
$200,000.
Oh, is that all?
Maybe more.
Right. So what is it in you, Heidi? And this is the tough love version, because I know you're ready to hear it. There's a couple things. What is it in you that's not trusting that other person that they want to seek just as much as you did to find the solution? You invested maybe a couple $100,000. You've been there before them. Any one piece of what you did, what would you have given then to know any one piece? You can pull out any one thread of what you know now. What would you have given? And you did give, and you didn't always find the answers. And that was the whole problem. You got to know. So thank you for helping me to underline it, because I can say the words, but when you get it by hearing this, It's for Heidi and it's for each and every one of you. You gotta know what you do is priceless. That analogy about my mom, it came to me a couple of weeks ago when I was first mentioned it. It's such a great analogy. You have to know your value that deeply. Then all these other things just wash away. It's not gonna matter. Heidi, does that make sense? Are you hearing it?
Just now when you said that about your mom, I thought, I did feel like that I was bleeding.
Exactly. This is a completely appropriate, I am not exaggerating with that analogy. You felt like you were bleeding in the street.
I did.
And so what a disservice not to honor that. What the struggles that you were going through, how much you were seeking, how much this mattered to you. And sometimes you don't want to go back there because it was so hard. You don't want to remember that.
Yeah, true.
But you don't have to relive it to remember that that's where they are. They're not where you are now. They're where you were. Often our ideal client is a previous, not always, but often a previous version of ourselves. Sometimes 5 minutes ago, almost, right? It's not always true, but often.
But Michelle, the version of me that was in pain is the very person who was draining me.
And we talked about this. So then find her a little further along the path. She's already had some resources. She's got some resources, but she still needs more.
Yes, that's true.
Did you stop investing after the first $50,000? And look at the price point even you're putting on it. You said, I felt like I was bleeding in the street, and you invested $200,000. And then here we're talking about $5,000 and up. For some of you, it'll be $50,000. It'll be $1 million, whatever it is, but we're talking about $5,000 and up. You just said you felt like you were bleeding in the street, truly. And we felt how deep that was. And you invested $200,000. And here we're saying, oh, it's $5,000 and up. Can you see how small that is? In this moment, and you might forget in the next moment, but that's a very small amount for the pain that you're just talking about. And that's true for all of you. If you go, well, yeah, Heidi, but not me. No, right? And it doesn't matter whether it's 5,000 or 50,000 or 500,000 or 5 million or 50 million, right? It's the same energetic, whatever number you attach to it. I'm not focused on the number. I just want you to know that whatever it is compared to that, the number is small. And we won't worry about whatever is circulating. It's like, hey, they could just Google it. Yeah, but are they actually going to get the transformation that they're looking for? And that unique transformation that you provide and that you discover. And I'll talk about how you discover that in just a minute. I want to review some pieces. Heidi, does that help?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Great, great question. You helped me when I went through that really quickly for today about you need to know your value is priceless. I know that in this room, we just got that in ways that we couldn't have without what you just said, Heidi. Thank you. All right.
And also it was you, Michelle, and it was each person here. I felt the love from each person.
Yeah. And if you have not got there yet with your work, then get with a buddy here, right? Do some journaling about it. Ask some questions on the campus, like do the investigative work. And right now, Heidi, for instance, you are in the knowing of it right now. But we forget again. It's right on the back of your book, right? You literally wrote the book on the topic, right? and we forget. So it's not something that we want to just know once, okay, got that, you know, it's we re-remember that that's the value of it. And that whatever your offer is, if it's a $5,000 offer, you should know that it's worth at least $10,000. You might not have known this, but what you just told me right now is worth $200,000. And you also said it's priceless. You felt you were bleeding in the street. So then when you actually know that, can you go and make an offer for $5,000? No. Or whatever, again, add a zero, add however many zeros, whatever applies to you. Right? Thank you for that. All right, jot down your biggest aha. That was a big one. Thank you, Heidi. just finish off that sentence. Just wanted to empty out the room again. That was deep, right? That was big. One of the things I'm going to say too is I'm reviewing and adding on. It's like reviewing and adding on. And it's when we are, I don't even want to say mastering sales, when we are understanding it, when we're actually in the process of it, when we're doing it, when we have incorporated that into ourselves and our being, it's just deeper and deeper and more nuanced level. Tomorrow, I'm not going to tell you, actually being heart-centered doesn't matter. It's something else, right? It's going to be this, but getting it at deeper and deeper levels. Because I can say the words, do you know that your value is priceless, that your work is priceless? But the words are different than actually experiencing it. Heidi just experienced it now. We experience this through her. It's experiential, right? So it's not going to be something different, but how do we get to those deeper levels of it so that it's implementable? That's why we don't just Google it. And the example I give is Jonathan. Well, go Google lighting. I bet lots of Jonathan's expertise is somewhere up online. You could probably do an online course. I don't know, right? I mean, you got to study for decades to really understand it and really work with people and so on. But you can go Google it, but it's not going to solve the problem. Information is vastly available these days. That's not what people are investing in. They want the transformation and the flat Google it version of it. You can go Google tons of things about story. Go ahead. Right? Will it get what we're getting at here? You know? It's the experience and the actual being able to do something with it. And it's the same for each one of you in your field, right? So I want to share my screen. I think, let me go check my screen. So I'm sharing the right screen. Where did I put it? I believe it's right here. And you can let me know because you should be seeing. I'm so proud of this picture. I'm going to keep showing it to you. It's the simplest picture I've ever shared with you guys. But I'm so proud of it because I made it myself. One day we'll have the fancy version, but I'm like, I really like this. So this is, you know, the Love Your Life sales model, really. This is it. And this is, there's so much in this. And we went into this deeply in other parts, but I just wanted to remind you of this little infographic, right? That you've got your stuff lying around. You know, Heidi doesn't just have, well, who's the best person to call when you first find out your child is autistic? I mean, there's so much that, you know, it's not just that. It's also Heidi's ability to access emotion and how she's really feeling, her ability to articulate things, so many other things about her background as well. It's like, you've got a whole bunch, you're a whole person. What have you got lying around in your shop, on your shop room floor? More than you know. Diane, you are way more adventurous than I knew. It's lying around on your shop room floor. I had no idea. Makes you unique, right? What's the transformation you offer? People get hung up there and think, oh, if I don't have it nailed down, let me go nail it down for the next 10 years before I talk to somebody. No, have an idea about what the transformation is. And when it encounters a real person who needs your help, that's it. All three of these are needed, right? You have your ideal client, the one that you envision in your mind as the perfect person. And then there's that, it's embodied in that real person. You enter into a conversation with them as you're talking to them. You're finding out what they need. And then to give the example with Heidi, it's like the real person who needs your help. We have a vision of the ideal client. And for Heidi, it used to be that person before I invested my $200,000. And then Heidi encountered the real person who needed her help. And she's like, no, that's not actually my ideal client. They need to have a little more experience because they're really, really, really suffering. And I don't want to be wallowing in it with them for the rest of my life. That because I get to choose, right? So we encounter that real person. It gives me a different idea of what the transformation is. And I know more about the stuff that I've got lying around. It's like, oh, I recognize all these other things that I have. I'm not where that person was before. So this is the dynamic. It's on the court always. We can't know our transformation unless we're talking to people. We can't, because real people have real requests, real desires, real pain. And the more we're on the court doing it, the more we'll understand who we are with the stuff lying around on our shopping floor and what the transformation is that we offer. And then mediating all this is having the words to say it, because all this takes place with conversation. So if this diagram makes sense to you, I know you've seen it before, but I wanted to, it's not once and done. I want you to really get this. If this makes sense to you, raise your hand. It should by now be very familiar and you get it. Really good. Okay. So, any questions about that? Because I want to add another layer now, again, about how we do that whole, how we step into her. And you can see why stage two is step into your big self. We were watching it on the court with Heidi. We need to step into that next level of ourselves, not somebody different from who you are, but more and more of ourselves showing up in order to do this. And as we do this, we become bigger. We just do. We dare to ask. We dare to be in the conversation. We dare to leave the job, Jonathan. We dare to, I see you nodding, right? We dare to expand. And we, like Diane, I Reiki at the heart of it, but you have more lying around on your shop room floor, and to create that offer. And already so far ahead of 99% and more of Reiki specialists out there. You're so on such a great path as you're, you know, and you're in the throes of it, of creating that, but knowing that you have that more to offer, knowing that what you have is deeply of service and it's deeply valued, and it's just not one at a time and once off, but actually something, a deeper transformation for that person, right? Don't have to be able to name it completely. You name it best you can, you go talk to people, right? Okay. Anything bubbling up wanting to be said, or questions, or just want to make a little space again so that you can hear the next piece that I want to give you? My other notes. Think while I'm grabbing my other notes. I thought I had them with me here. My binder, I think. Hang on. There it is. Oh, that's not it. Hold tight. Jot down your biggest aha. Jot down your biggest aha. A piece of paper that I want to find here, and then it's here. It's right in front of me, of course. Okay, so I had you jot it down. Let's hear one more aha before we move forward. Now that I've got my notes. One more aha. What's opening for you now? Heidi, thank you.
I had not seen it before. I had been minimizing my pain.
Right. Right. I'm so glad you said that, because I'm about to give you 7 tips, and this is tip number 4. This is very directly related to tip number 4. And it makes sense, right? When we just heard something of Heidi's story, right? Of an autistic child, it's like, for those who don't have an autistic child, it's like unimaginable, right? And what you actually have gone through with that, it's no wonder, because like that, and each of us, we've been through things that we don't want to go back there. It feels like, oh no, I don't want to recreate that. Or it's like, so we want to pretend that it's not there. That's what our people are doing, by the way. They're walking around not wanting to look at it. But as they're not looking at it, it's like it's ever present. Often that's what happens. Do you get it? If you're like, and I'm not talking about wallowing in it. This is the opposite of wallowing. And Jonathan, because you've spoken so eloquently about it, can I use an example from you again about leaving, and because you're at this beautiful leaping off place, right? Thank you. Thank you for that permission. Thank you. That's so, Jonathan's been working in his industry for what? Many years. And 19 years ago, he knew that he could do this. And there's pain then, right? In not doing it. And it's hard to look at it because it's our lives. And now Jonathan's on the other side of that going like, woo, like all these people are sending me messages and it's so good. And then he's going to bump into some other things too. And then more openings will happen and so on, right? But we want to minimize it, because it's also, when we minimize it, it's like we can just carry on as usual. That's what Luke Skywalker does in Star Wars. It's like, I can't really go off to save the galaxy because, you know how life is. I've got to take care of the farm, and you know my uncle needs me, and he's even talking about it, but he's not realizing it's like, yeah, and this is not the life for me, and something's got to change, right? And so if somebody were to do a strategy session with Luke, it's not exactly a strategy session, but there's much like that when Obi-Wan's talking to him, you know? He's calling him to something bigger. He's letting him speak about things, and he's helping him to notice that something bigger is possible. And so we minimize our own pain. It's like, then there's a next level happening for you, Heidi. Then, you know, they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing, either past pain or current pain, and it's causing them so much pain. And then, like I say, $5,000, that's a no-brainer. You know, start up $5,000, you're going to be moving up from that so quickly. It's worth so much more than that. And you might not know that right now. One day you did, a couple of weeks, a few weeks ago. You'll know it, you'll forget it, you'll know it. But the more you are on the court and actually making those offers and talking to those people, that's when you'll remember, right? How much this matters. All right. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said? All right. So what I wanted to share with you now is, I think of it as the conversation with Bonnie. I don't know if Amy's got that up yet or not. It was a conversation that I had with one of our alumni many years ago. And I think it was even partway through the conversation, I said, can I share this with our community? She's like, yes, sure. And so I call it Strategy Session Magic, 7 Tips to Closing High Ticket Sales. And I want to underline what those are. And then I strongly encourage you to go and listen to that conversation with Bonnie. It was from many years ago, but it's still a wonderful conversation about the essential components to sales. And you've already heard these things in different contexts, but I want to draw them all together and then point you in the direction of that call, all right? So the first thing is an offer. Decide what to offer. Don't let it be rocket science. If you're new, $5,000 and up, right? You have a $5,000 offer, and the offer is not just like how much it is and how you're going to do it. It's like, what's the transformation? You know, what's the transformation that you're offering? That's the real offer. The real offer isn't it's this many calls or it's this many lights or it's this many sessions or it's not that. It's not Dana, I will stand beside you and, you know, mop up this computer. That's the how. It's like, you're going to feel, in that case, you're going to feel loved. You're going to have a working computer again. Yes, of course, but all that other stuff that comes with it, right? So what's the offer that you want to give? Have something in mind beforehand, before the conversation, but you can even be flexible about it, but have something in mind. I think that this might help this person. So you've got a framework for walking into the conversation, and you can be flexible. Let me give you an example. One student that came to our community, I used to teach a week-long retreat, and she thought it might be for her, and I thought it might be for her, and we entered into the conversation. By the end of the conversation, she came to work with me for a year. So I had something in mind. It ended up being something else, right? Both of us were surprised, you know? So decide what to offer. Don't let any of this be rocket science. Just get on the court and do it. Number two, we already did a deep dive with Heidi. Thank you. Value. Know in your bones the value of your work. We already did a deep dive in number two. Thank you, Heidi, with thanks to Heidi. You know, find this from your big self. That's why stage two is about step into your big self. And Heidi's showing us other parts of her, you know, you owning all of who you are. It's like honoring that person and how she felt then. All of that is knowing more of all of who you are. So you got to know that, for example, you got to know that the value of your work, with the number you put on it, that it's worth at least twice that. Find it inside you. If you're charging $10,000, know that it's worth $20,000. If you're charging $1 million, know it's worth $2 million. Find it inside you. I'm not saying come from small self, but man, it's $2,000, but I really can't handle charging that. So I'm going to charge $1 million. You know, you're going to find, or whatever the number is. I know that this is worth $10,000, and I'm going to charge $5,000 because I'm coming from big self, because I've looked deeply into the value of the pieces, like we just saw Heidi doing here. Without that, the process doesn't work. If you don't see the value, why would they? And with you, Heidi, it was like forgetting how it actually felt. Right? So offer, number one. Number two, value. Number three, listen. None of this will come as any surprise, but these are the component parts. We've been talking about it. I'm gathering them together for you. Ask questions and really listen to them. Really, really listen. And holding space, listening. And what do we listen for? Big part of what we listen for is number four, their pain. Listen for pain in your area. And this is what most of us want to skip over because we think we're causing them pain because we don't want them to hurt more in that moment because, hey, like let's say Heidi meets somebody and let's say she was rushing it and maybe they're too early on, so it's not even the right ideal client, for instance, right? But they express just 1 second of that pain and Heidi goes, I know you, I know what it feels like. Here's my 10-point solution. How are they going to feel? You really haven't heard me. You don't understand what it's like exactly for me. Right? So listening to them. And the thing is, the pain in your area, you need to know that itself plus all the spin-off effects of it, right? So I gave the example of Dana and the computer. If I were selling computer fixes, for instance, right? I would think of myself as technical. I would think of myself as, it's just transactional. I make computers work or I don't. And so if we're in a technical field, often we think of that. We could think that even about holistic work or energy work, strangely enough, right? So the whole gamut. But the pain in Dana yesterday, the pain in her area is what I feel alone in this. I don't know if I can fix this. I don't know if it's fixable. What's going to happen then? And all the spin-off effects of what she thinks can happen if she doesn't get the assignment in and so on. So it's always like that. There's going to be spin-off effects in their relationships, in their working relationships and in their home. Like, do you know the value of what you're doing in their work, in the specific thing, in this case, fix a computer that they're doing. So there's all of that, listening to the pain in your area. So the example that I gave last time was about, again, I've got lighting on my mind. So thinking about lighting at the university and the explicit pain was that it was so dark, people could fall and break their legs. But that wasn't the deepest pain. And when administrators could hear not only that and that how much it was gonna cost them if somebody broke their leg and they could get sued and so on, but also, when they could really hear that, well, let me think, is this the best analogy for you? It's how they perceive that pain. It's how they perceive that pain. I almost went to like how women on campus were feeling. They were feeling insecure, and not just the women, right? And so on, but that might not be the right analogy in this case for what I'm trying to get across, because it's their pain. The administrator's pain, as we as a committee were speaking to them and helping get that lighting in, which we did, was really about liability. It was really about budget. It was really about, and there was something about being the kind of people, I talked about this last time, that are doing the right thing on campus. It was about their self-image and how they really felt about themselves. So it's how they see their pain and then the deeper levels of that. And then, if that person in front of me, for instance, and I didn't have that direct conversation, we didn't need to, it got done much more easily there. But let's say I had to have a conversation with Archie, who was the VP, who we got along great, we did get along great. And if I'd had to have that conversation with him, if he could have understood, then the icing on the cake would be like how people are actually feeling on campus. And then also there's spin-off effects, like are people gonna wanna come and what will happen to student retention and all those things, right? The spin-off effects and how they're really feeling could relate to his budgetary concerns or his growing the college concerns. If women don't feel safe on campus, you are gonna lose students, you are gonna lose faculty, right? So it's like spin-off effects, even for putting a light in so people don't break their legs, right? I know, John, then you know there's much more depths of that, right? But for the functional thing that we were trying to get, right? So offer, value, listen for their pain. That's number four. Number five, let them step in. This is related to don't pounce. It's like if don't pounce is what we don't want, what we do want is letting them step in. Let them step in. It's, wow, maybe we can fix a computer. Maybe it's going to be possible. Mom, would you go do this piece for you? Oh, I'm sorry. And her own, unworthiness in having me, asking me and me leaving a meeting could have impeded her, right? But, maybe we can do this together. Maybe we can figure it out. Let them step in to that vision. Don't pounce, let them step in. Number five is big why, not objections. Big why, not objections. In the tactical way of thinking about sales, in the give me a fill in the blank something, often our editors, it's our editors that are really in our editor, that voice inside that doesn't serve us, says something like, yeah, but they're going to object. I need to talk to my spouse. It's too much money. It's like, and our minds fill with that. And that means that their disempowering story overpowered our empowering story about what's possible for them. Their disempowering story just won. So rather than thinking about objections, think about what's their why. It's like, well, hey, what might be possible for you if that kind of sentence, dot, dot, dot. What do you envision as possible? Not just if people weren't breaking their legs, but if we had a well-lit, campus, if we, if for in Yvonne's field, if you had an event that ran smoothly and people were smiling and they couldn't wait to come on. And although it's virtual, they don't want to go away because, even though it's been on for 5 days, they're all excited, whatever it is, right? What would that feel like? And then there are objections. They fall away. Don't think about meeting objections. Think about helping them to stay in their purpose, to stay in that possibility. And we can also, we meet objections anyway before they happen. We meet objections before they happen. Let me see if I can give a quick example of that. I seem to be turning to you for examples today, Jonathan. Can I turn to another example? It's just so relevant. It's relevant to what I'm talking about today. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. All right. One of the objections to coming to do this work could have been, well, I could just stay with my job. Why would you do this if you're just going to stay with your job? So that's something that, rather than meet that later on, it's like, well, would you like to do this? Well, I don't know. I think I'm going to stay with my job, right? For example, let's learn that beforehand and how, ask questions. Well, here's a viable alternative. Jonathan, it was a viable alternative. You could have stayed with that job. Let's go investigate that earlier on, long before the offer. Is that something actually in authenticity? You ask the person in authenticity. Well, let's see if we can find a solution to the X that was bothering Jonathan at the time, all right? Here's one solution. You could stay with that job. How does that feel? Didn't feel so good. This one felt better, right? So then at the end, Jonathan's probably not going to be saying, well, I think I'm just going to stay with it because we already talked about that, right? That objection's not going to come up because we already talked about that possibilities. And the more conversations you have and the more deeply you're listening to that person, you can think what might be the issue. And sometimes people have money objections. I actually don't, with love for that person, I don't really listen. I prize listening, but that's almost always coming from their editor. If it's not coming from their editor and it's really not possible for them to invest, if they're living on the street, for instance, they don't actually literally have the money, it's not possible for them to find it, then it's just a factual thing and we'll find that out. But most often, if people have a money objection, it's because they haven't seen the value yet. That was Heidi earlier in the call. You get that? And if she's not seeing the value, then why would they? And then it's really hard to make offers, right? So, and that's the very place that I took Heidi to. Like, it's like, instead of, I just realized that now, it's in my being. I don't even have to think about it. It's like, oh, here's an objection that Heidi was placing before me. Yeah, but, I think it sounds great, but what about all that free stuff out there? And I'm like, what's the possibility? What's the pain for that person? What's possible for them? I naturally think like that because I'm always like, let's let go of that pain. Let's go to the possibility. Same in a strategy session. So don't think of handling objections. Instead, it's what's their why for doing this? How much does it matter? And then if there's obstacles in the way, let them go beforehand, investigate it. And if, like, for instance, if Jonathan said, you know, like, I think I really want to stay. There's good, really good things too about the job I'm in. And I think I really want to stay. I would have said, great. Let me give you some suggestions about doing that. Let's see if we can figure that out for you. And in authenticity, you help that person, right? So big why, not objections. Number seven, unattached. That's related to what I just said. If Jonathan had decided that, it's all good. We just try to help people the best we can. We be in authenticity. We sleep well at night, right? Unattached to the outcome, committed to them making a decision. That's what you commit to. Doesn't matter whether it's yes or no, to do the work with you or not, or what level work or whatever it is. They go work with who you consider your competitor or somebody else in your field, or they go figure it out themselves. Not unattached. It's right from the Bhagavad Gita, one of the foundation texts in the yoga tradition. They say, do your duty, be unattached to the outcome. You just hold space. You just hold space. And it's great personal training, because whether they are grateful for it but they go away, or they're grateful for it and they enroll, or they spit in your face and think you're horrible, or they tell you that your competitor is much better than you, or whatever it is, unattached. That's a great way to live the best we can. Am I always that? No. Do I know that that's what I'm aiming for? Yes. Doesn't matter what they decide, but that they decide. And again, to give the example with Jonathan, if Jonathan had gone, well, maybe I'm going to go on my own, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm going to go on my own, maybe I'm not. That's exhausting. You know, with Diane, you know, well, maybe I'm going to help my grandson find balance and ease, or maybe not. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Wow, imagine what a life. Helping them commit. You know, and with Diane, it's not the way it worked out that grandmother worked with you, right? And with her to beautiful, beautiful ends, right? But if that was a strategy session and she decided, you know, I'm going to go help my grandson, but I'm going to decide to enroll him in swimming lessons, you go bless her on her way, or whatever it is, you know, right? Swimming lessons of having him dunk his feet in the water, I don't know, right? And you might even be going, wow. You know, if you happen to be autistic and it's like, that's going to be a nice Heidi smiling, like, that's not going to work, or whatever it is, or maybe it will, or I don't know, right? You know, I don't. But holding space for them, helping them to make a decision, unattached to the outcome, all right? So those are the seven pieces. Offer, value, listen, pain. Let them step in, that's stepping into the hope. Big why, not objections, be unattached to the outcome. And I think what I want to add to that too is, well, you know, when they step in, when they're going the hopeful place, I just want to add, oh, and make your offer. You know, well, we talked about that, you know, having an offer in mind, I guess I could go right under number one, right? But I just want to remind you, once they're in that place of hope, it's like, do you have any questions? No, well, would you like to see how we might do that? And you've already explored other alternatives with them. What else have you tried? I tried this, it didn't work. I tried that, it didn't work. I tried that, it didn't work. Or maybe they say, I've invested in this $100,000 program and I haven't made use of any of it yet. Probably my suggestion would be, great, why don't you go and make use of that program? Because if they didn't, they're probably not going to make use of whatever it is that we're doing. So sending them back to their own resources, right? That's a thing we can do as well. But we listen, we actually find a solution, we partner with them, and we find the best solution we can. And we're in discussion with that person because they're in our ideal client zone as best we can tell. You know, we get better at that the further we go on. And still we're guessing. We think we hear pain in our area. We invite them to a conversation. They come or they don't. And if they come, we just help them. All right. Let me see. Is that what I want to say about that? Yes. Any questions about that? Is that making sense? It should feel like a gathering of things that we've done before, not new knowledge, correct? Yeah, and it should feel like a good consolidation of things that we've been talking about. If this is, and I want the real answer, if this is feeling accessible, if some part of you is going, oh yeah, right, that's how conversations go. Oh yeah, I know how to help people. If any part of you is doing that right now, raise your hand. I am working to demystify over and over and over again. 100%, fantastic, thank you. All right, jot down your biggest aha, still more I want to share with you. Okay, thank you. Finishing up that last sentence, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. You ready for more? Can I pour more into you? Has this been helpful in pulling together the threads of what? Yeah, big nods. Okay, fantastic. So what I want to do, I want to do another little chunk, and we have the high ticket virtual retreat follow-up on Thursday, right? So to be continued, we have a Q&A call this afternoon. This is a really deep dive, and then we're giving you some time to go out in the court and do it and do it and do it and do it and do it, all right? And then we've got the abundance half-day retreat, because I want to remind you to have an abundance story inside you. Because as you go out and bump, we want you on the court as much as possible over those couple of weeks. Go ahead, bump into stuff, and we'll remind you of the abundance of the world and your own beingness and what's in front of you, all right? So we're going to help you with the inner piece of it. Go out on the court, do that outer world piece for a couple of weeks after Thursday, and then we'll give you another component part. Don't wait for that next component part. You want to be out on the court as much as you can over those couple of weeks that we've given you to go implement what we're talking about here. Otherwise, who cares, right? Doesn't do anything. So a couple more pieces about what to say and what to ask. What to say? First, for it to be called a strategy session, you can call it what you want. I like strategy session. You get their agreement, or entry into agreement prior to that conversation, that together we're going to find the best next step for you. And then at the beginning of the conversation, you reiterate that, so that you've got a container for the conversation. Hey, I just want to check in. Are we on the same page for this call? They go, no, I thought I was going to buy a carton of milk. Great, go down the street, you know. Then you've got a container, and then there are things you can say within that container that you couldn't otherwise say, and things you can ask them that you couldn't otherwise ask them, so that you can go deep. So do you want to meet and see if, you know, you've already uncovered some pain, probably in a connection call somewhere, somehow, you know that they've got some pain in there in your area. Hey, would you want to get together? I'd be happy to hold space for you, whatever your language is about that. Where together we can find the best next step. Do you want to? Most people, most heart-centered people, and hopefully you're working with heart-centered people, will go, really, you do that for me? Sure, thank you. And it really is that gratitude toward you is appropriate. You're giving your time freely. Many people have told me to charge for strategy sessions. I still don't, because I just want it to be this clear space of support for people. I sleep well at night, you know? It feels good. So get their agreement, you're finding the best next step. A great thing to say at the beginning, I love this phrase, what made you decide to invest your time to talk to me about X today? Because they're making decisions already and they're already investing. They actually are. It helps them recognize that. And it lets them, you know, what made you decide to invest your time to talk to me about X today? You know, what made you come to the call? Sometimes they say it twice, they can hear it, right? Then you listen for the pain in your area and you tell me more, right? And you can envision my mom with the person bleeding. It's a quick question there. It's like, are you bleeding? Do you need help? Can I put this tourniquet on you? You know, with Dana with the computer, you can see more complexity there, right? You listen for pain in the area, tell me more. And then another key thing to say, when they've really gone through the pain, deep dive, don't skim over that part. It will naturally start to turn to hope. And they're going, wow, this could happen and that could happen and that could happen and that could happen in your area, right? Do you have any questions? It's a great time to ask. Once you know, you've already tackled the objections beforehand of what they might bump into, because you can hear it in their editor, right? You've already listened to their pain in their area. They realize how deep it is. Then they realize the solution to it. And the solution is something of what you offer, something of your program. They're living in it before you're outlining the program. Do you have any questions? And they might go, yeah, how can I work with you? Or yeah, how do I get this done? Well, I have an idea. Would you like to see that? And then they're asking for your offer. All right, I think what I'm going to do, because we're almost right at the top of the hour, I'm going to leave what to ask until our high ticket virtual retreat part two. I've already told you, ask a bunch of questions. I'll just make that a little bit more specific on Thursday. And then I want to do something that's going to, and again, we'll do this on Thursday, that's going to link up stage, something that we're learning how to do in stage one and how it applies to stage two. Stage one is about envisioning. Stage two is stepping into big self, sales and offers. And think of it this way. I want to set you up for this and we'll in a good way, and then we'll dive in further on Thursday. If we can't envision for ourselves, it's like, when I look at the future, it's awful and grim. How are we going to help another person envision and be in that hope and in our area? That's why stage two is foundational. First, we can envision for ourselves. Then we help another person envision. And we can actually help them see, what's it like in the pain in this area? What's that life look like? I call it door number one. And what's life where this is actually solved, where it's envisioned in its full form, door number two? Where do you want to live? Do you have any questions, right? So I'll show you more of how that works. I often talk to people about door number one and door number two in strategy sessions, but not always. It's not a technique. It's something I'm actually talking to somebody about to help them experience something so they can make a choice. So I'll talk more about that on Thursday. I was gonna say any burning questions, without which we can't go forward, but we've got our Q&A on Step Into Your Big Self, Sales and Offers in just a few hours, right? So bring your questions. And also, some of you posted them beforehand. Go ahead. I know we just did this. You might have new questions. Usually I'm asking for 24 hours in advance, but go ahead and post your questions. And today, as an exception, I'll take those questions because you may well have questions arising from this. Post your questions, come to the call, post your questions. Even if you can't come to the call, it will be there for you in the recording. So, but I want to end because we have 2 minutes to the top of the hour. I hope and trust this is helpful to you. I saw lots of hands. I saw lots of ahas. Thank you for being present. Lots of big nods right now. So thank you for being present for this. You have the keys to the kingdom. You're so ready already. And I keep wanting to give you another little piece that will help make this so much easier, so much more fun. So you really don't want somebody else to do sales for you, even though you will, because you'll find somebody amazing like Yvonne, right? Down the way, stage three. Not stage one, right? But you're going to love it so much that you won't want to, because it's beautiful, right? That's my intention for you. And you know what to do. All right. One aha, one inspired action. If you have to leave at the top of the hour, go post it in Slack. That's a great, go place it in program. That's a great thing for the program channel. Here's one of my ahas from some of the training we did. That's a great place for it. So if you can't stay, go do that. If you were able to stay, Heidi, you're up first because you happen to be in my upper left-hand corner. One aha, one inspired action to bring us home. Oh, and you're muted.
A big aha to make the offer from hope.
Thank you for noticing. If they're so enmeshed in their pain and you go, look, I've got this handy dandy solution, they can't even hear you. They have to be able to envision some other world. Otherwise, it's going to be a struggle and they can't invest. And if they do, it's going to come, it's dark. Thank you. Structural story. Yes. And your inspired action.
To make the offer from hope.
Yay. That's what you call a BUFO, like Hiram Smith, you called it, right? A blinding flash of the obvious, BFO, right? And these things actually move our world. They're life changing, right? And yeah. You can probably even go Google that. It's not going to give you what you just got here. Same in your area. Yes. You get this now at a cellular level. You're ready to go out and do this. Fantastic, Heidi. Thank you. Jonathan, you're up next.
Yeah, so my big aha, I think the whole session was really understanding and being responsible for knowing the value of your work, be responsible to yourself in that. Yes. And my inspired action will be to, I'm writing a proposal probably later today. My first hunch was to kind of lowball it from what I would have previously done at my firm, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give it the full shebang. And not cheap out, because
This is so good, Jonathan. And here's the thing, let's say we're offering something that's worth multi-millions and we try to give it to somebody for 2 cents. I'm trying to be ridiculous here. People are going to go, oh, that's not trustworthy. Why is that person? Who is this? Right.
Right.
Standing for it, knowing the value. It's so important on so many levels. Thank you. Yes, yes. And yes. Oh, beautiful. And Diane, you're up next.
My aha is to really strengthen the envision for myself as to the transformation I want to make for people.
Stage one. We do it good enough, go out there, make the offers, but then we go, it's not once and done. It's like, what is that vision? What is that transformation? And we know it at deeper and deeper levels. Is that picture that I drew myself that I showed you, it's all about that, right? Thank you, Diane. Beautiful. And what's your inspired action?
Well, to help to settle in the value that I offer, I'm going to read through the testimonials that I've got already from past clients.
Brilliant thing to do. We have those testimonials so other people can hear, but we have those testimonials for ourselves. Oh, know the value of what you do. Can't say that enough. Thank you. Beautiful. And what a beautiful way to do it. Yes. Yvonne, you're up next.
It's simple and true. Sales is simply a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And I bet you could Google that, but it wouldn't be understood. Mm-hmm. Thinking back to Heidi's mm-hmm. comment earlier, right? The way that we are understanding that here and now. Absolutely. It tells me you're hearing it too. You got it. Beautiful. Yes, yes, and yes. And your inspired action.
I wasn't on the second call, so I'll listen to the recording of the second call.
Fantastic. Great thing to do. We have them available to you. You all should have your access now to Story Freedom Academy. And wow, I mean, great, great stuff. You guys are playing at 1,000%. And so that's where this training is at, because that's how you're playing. And so it's worth listening to. If you go back and re-listen to it, if you were there, you're going to hear new things after you've heard this too. So thank you for that, Yvonne. Beautiful. Mary Kay.
My heart is what you said. They're living in it before you make your offer, because that's what's happened with my strategy calls. I didn't realize it, but yeah, they're in it.
They're already living that pain. Is that, you mean the pain part?
No, they're living the hope.
They're living
the hope part, and then the offer comes, and some of them react. It's hard to resist.
Yes, exactly. Oh, thank you for that, Mary Kay. Exactly. And you know what I love is that you have been doing highly successful strategy sessions for quite some time now. It's not our first, you know, journey together. But we get more and more conscious of what we're even doing. It's like, oh, right, that is exactly what's happening. And then in that consciousness, you can encourage that even more and hold space for people even more when you know that that's what's going on, right? So that you can best help them. And then like, that's exactly what you say. It's hard to resist, not because of some sales tactic or structure or anything. It's just because it's genuine deep help. They've felt it in their body. They know. Yes, thank you, beautiful. And then your inspired action.
My inspired action is to is to advertise my Oasis and my talk it's a repeat talk I'm going to give this month.
Fantastic. Stage three work, getting your work out there in a bigger way. Fantastic work. I forgot, but some of the things we'll talk about on Thursday. Well, where do we get these strategy sessions then? Right? Where do we get them? You get them all over the place, by the way. And Mary Kay just illustrated one of the many, many, many ways to do this. Jonathan did too. But when on LinkedIn, there's all these people, right? So super easy to do that. We complexify, we don't need to. So we'll talk about that on Thursday as well. So thank you guys. This is outstanding, outstanding work. This is one of my favorite calls on sales ever, ever, ever. Maybe my favorite of all time. It's because of the way you're showing up. So thank you so much. I will see you later today for our Q&A. I will see you for How to Get Virtual Retreat Part 2, where we'll do all those things and more. Have a fantastic couple of hours. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.